want you to pull out the sheet that's in your little flyer, the bulletin that you received as you came in. And I want to share a message entitled today. In fact, I want you to, there's a couple of passages of scripture we're going to look at, and then we have a testimony at the end of the service I think you're going to really enjoy about the power of Jesus' resurrection. All right, we're going to look in Genesis 2 and then 1 Samuel 17 if you have a Bible, want to follow along. If not, some of these scriptures are going to be up front. This might be an unusual Easter message because I'm not going to tell the resurrection story. You've heard that. But I'm going to share a truth in three words that sums up why Jesus came. Why Jesus came to earth, why he died on the cross, why he rose again. And these are three words that are the title of my message today. And these words, I hope you remember these words. I hope you remember them. Hope they get into your heart. Here's the three words. God needs you. Okay, God needs you. Now, I'm thinking in this crowd here, some of you are like, okay. Have you ever done a public speech or presentation, or you've had to do like in your work, you know, they taught you how to do oral communications and speak in front of a crowd? One of the rules is whatever the truth or thesis you're trying to assert, whatever you're trying to say, you need to support it with several points that become persuasive. You understand what I'm saying? You say this truth, and then bam, 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 and so then you prove your point, all right? So the reason I say that is because the title of my message is, okay, if you're giving a speech, the title of the message is God Needs You. Okay, here's my first point. Write this down. God doesn't need anything. Now, I just broke the rules of public speaking right here. I asserted a truth, and now, how many see that? How many are like, oh man, now you, okay, God doesn't need anything. The reason I'm kind of talking on this line of thinking, I heard someone tell a story this week, and so it got me kind of thinking on this line of thought. They were on a cruise in Alaska, going down, you know, the beautiful waterway, and they look across this vast Alaskan wilderness, amazing. And he and his wife were sitting there reading a book, and he looked up, he said, oh man, I was just, you ever been breathtaking, you know, just your breath is taken away by, I've had that happen in the Rocky Mountains. He had it happen in this Alaskan wilderness. And he said, I said to the Lord, Lord, you don't need anything. You're huge. And he said, I felt like the Lord said in his heart back to me, but I need you. Now, I thought about that. In fact, here's what the Bible says in Acts 17. I mean, every theological student knows something, that God's self-existent. God doesn't need anything. God is self-contained. God is fully satisfied in who he is. And it says he isn't served by human hands as if he needed anything, whether he himself gives everyone life. So first-year theology students know something. God doesn't need anything. But here's the second point, and you need to understand this morning. This is powerful. Because God in his sovereignty, here's the second point. God decided to need us. I want you to hear this. God made a choice. God made a choice for you. It's not an accident you were born during the time we live right now. I'm saying you were chosen, you were fashioned, you were born. God has a purpose. God decided to need you. God doesn't need anything to exist, but he made a choice to include human beings made in his image in his plan. That's the most amazing thing. And so I want to start at the beginning part of the Bible today. I want to give you a scripture. It's a picture. Sometimes we read by it, and this is not mythology. This truly happened. In fact, the whole idea happened right before the painting that was given and man fell. And so I want us to look at Genesis chapter 2:19, and here's what it says. It says, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. God's waiting to see what man would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. Now, I think a lot of times when we read through the Bible, we read over stuff. We miss the details. We miss the intent. There's an intent in this. This was a thought of God. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that's what he named him. That's why we have, probably wasn't named like this, but in the English language you have hippopotamus or Komodo dragon, or, you know. So that's in English. But I don't know what Adam called them, but I think it's very interesting that Adam was naming the animals. And the scripture says when he named them, no companion was found for him. Now, I think it's interesting. No companion. He said it's not good for a man to dwell alone. I want a companion. Now, that says something about the image of God. God wants a relationship. He has a relationship with himself, but he wants a relationship with every person. And so Adam falls asleep. Had named all the animals. He wakes up, and there's this new animal. He's like, whoa, man. Woman, that's who she is. That's what he said. The woman was made, and it was an amazing story. But I want you to think about something. Why didn't God, I mean, think about this, these little nuances in the Bible. This is about your life. This is about your life. Why didn't God say to Adam, hey, Adam, come here. I want to show you something. See that that large gray, it's got like this long sort of snout thing. We're going to call that an elephant. And looking, coming out of the tree. See that it's golden and it's got those brown marks, big neck. That's a giraffe. And, ooh, duck. Yeah, no, that was a duck. Okay, he just flew by, all right? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do this? Because I'm telling you something. This is a picture in the Bible. God wants to partner with your life. Your decisions matter. Your choices mean something. Oh, it's powerful. Man, you're made in the image of God. This morning, you can lean into the Lord and surrender to him. Something could happen that's an amazing. You want to run your own life? This is the astounding thing about God in all of his power. He'll let you run your own thing. Because love demands choice. And God, who has all power, chose in his sovereignty to say, I don't need anything, but I decided to need you. I was walking last night, just, you know, out kind of on a prayer walk. And I was looking at the sky. I was looking kind of, it was kind of the evening. It was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And a scripture came into my heart. And here was the scripture. It says, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon. Isn't that interesting? We look at the moon. God says, you ever make something with your fingers? Okay, God's like, okay, let's create a moon just like this. Okay, I don't even know how that works. But the stars you set in place. Then he asks this question, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Are human beings that you should care for them? He said, I'll tell you who they are. You made them a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God. That's what it says. They crowned them with glory and honor. Verse 6, you gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. Isn't that astounding? That God chose. He chose. One time in the Old Testament, God says, I was looking for one man, and I'm looking for that one man. He'd stand in the gap so that I didn't have to bring judgment on this group of people. But he said, I looked, I found not one man, so he said I had to bring judgment. Now, what is that about? Or how about in this town of Nazareth where Jesus, the Bible says that he could not do many miracles there. It doesn't say he would not, he wanted to, but he could not. Because somehow human choices make a difference. And your choice today, your posture toward God, it makes a difference. God has chosen. Is it possible that God has limited his unlimited power on earth to your faith? That God has the power to do everything. Maybe God wants to do something in your life. He has the power, but he's waiting for you to partner with him. To partner with him. To say, God, I surrender to you. I surrender to you, Lord. Is it possible also that, you know, there's an adversary called, he's really a personality. I mean, you look at this snake on the ground. That's not just a story. There's a real personality, an adversary who hates you and would like to destroy you. What if he's got a strategy and he knows that principle that God works only in the spaces where humans yield to his place? Now, what if the enemy knew that? So I want to go to the second story, is 1 Samuel 17, a story that everybody knows, David and Goliath, and it gives us a picture of this. This was the first text I ever preached when I was an 18-year-old kid. I preached on the island of Haiti And I remember I was terrified and preached through this. And it's interesting because you might see some different things in this story today. So this is Goliath. Remember, he's like this tall dude. I mean, probably over 9 foot tall, massive guy, behemoth of a human being, quite a specimen. He's speaking and he's posturing. And so he says this. He stood, that is Goliath, stood and cried out. This is 1 Samuel 17:8. He cried out to the armies of Israel and said, "Why have you come out to line up in battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are servants of Saul? Now listen to this, watch this. Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me, and if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. If I prevail against him and kill him, then you're our servants, and you'll serve us." Verse 10, the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now, folks, my question is, God could have wiped this dude 9 foot tall. To God, that's not a giant. To us, it's a giant. To God, it's like, doing, you know, boom shakalaka. One lightning bolt, and he's wiped out. You know what I'm saying? Right in the forehead. Doing, he's dead. Why are we looking for a man in this? I'm telling you why. Because is it possible that God's amazing power, because he included you in his plan, it's wrapped up in you making a choice to surrender to him? Could it be possible? And is it possible that Satan set this up and he knows this rule? He knows that I got you. I deceive people. I trap them. I make them. And so here's Satan. And he thinks, I'm going to set this ruse and there's not going to be one single person who's going to stand up and watch. I'm going to take all of God's people in captivity. And maybe there is this interaction in heaven where Satan comes to God and says, "Aha, got you now. No person. Look, it's Saul the king can't even stand up. Aha, no man to stand up. Aha, ha, ha." And God says, "I don't need a man. I got a boy. And that boy, I've trained with a lion and with a bear and with a slingshot. And I'm going to use that boy. And I'm going to show my power." Now, think about the things. Maybe you're in a situation right now, and all the little battles, maybe the Goliath that you're facing, you're the David. Maybe you're the person that can stand up, and all the stuff that God's trained you in, and those little stuff you've gone through, now you're standing up at this moment in time where if you trusted the Lord, something amazing could happen, because you stand as God's army. God says, "All I need is one dude, one woman who'd stand up and say, 'God, I believe you in this.'" And so God needs nothing, but he's decided to need you. Now, here's the question. Here's the third question I'm asking this morning. Have you decided to need God? Have you decided to lean on God? Have you decided to partner with God? See, God has a part, but we have a part. And so I want to break this down just a little bit and help you out here. Okay, so God has a part, and we have a part. And because we're made in his image, our decisions matter. In fact, on this tree here, and, you know, there's debate. Of course, we say it's an apple. It's like if you put a little caramel on there, that would have really been a temptation, wouldn't it? But I don't know if it was an apple or not. Maybe it was an Apple computer. Who knows? No, I don't think it was. All right. I don't think that's a temptation for all you Microsoft fans out there. Okay, whatever. But just think about this. I forgot my thought now. I was so brilliantly... Okay, you have a part. God has a part. Can somebody help me out? Can anybody tell me what I was thinking about right there? Sorry about that. Your decision matters. Okay, here's what he's going to say. Got it. Do you know a monkey could have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and wouldn't have made a difference? Wouldn't have made a hill of beans, because a monkey wasn't made in the image of God. But you are made in God's image, and your decisions matter. Your choices. What beautiful thing that is. So here's the first thing. God has a part, you have a part. Here's the first thing. God is never going to do your part. God's never going to do your part. He'll never do your part. A lot of times you're praying, "Oh, God, do this, Lord." We could pray something like, "Lord, heal my marriage, heal my marriage." And God says, "Well, here's kind of how this works. Husbands, you kind of have to be like Christ loves the church, and wives, you have to honor your husbands, and like the church would honor Christ." See, God's not going to do your part. And there's a lot of people out there that are angry at God, saying, God, look what you did to me. And God says, what do you mean what I did to you? You have a choice to trust me. I'd love to do it, but you have to partner with me. I want you to work with me on this. Now, I heard this story of a woman, young lady, single gal, went to a ministry fair like we did. And she's single. She's up in the nursery volunteering. And she's serving these little toddlers, little infants. And she's just enjoying the Lord, and she's talking to the Lord and saying, oh, Lord, one day I know you're gonna give me a husband. I'm going to be able to have kids. And Lord, when I have a family, Lord, will you help me out, God? I mean, will you help me change diapers? And she got this verse in her heart. It says, I am the Lord, and I change not. All right. Okay, he's like, wow, really? I came to Easter service for that? That was bad. Let me just tell you something. The point is, there's some stuff that you have to do. God's not going to change your diapers. So you have a responsibility. And so, God's never going to do your part. Second thing is this, your part's never supernatural. It's never supernatural. I'm telling you, God has a part, it's supernatural. Your part, it can be done. You're like, God, bring to remembrance everything I've studied for I have this test. God says, study, and I'll help you out. See, you study, you do your part. That's not supernatural. You can do that. For David slinging a stone, that wasn't supernatural. He just did it. He got in there, and bam, and God directed it to the right spot on this giant's forehead, and I think it's an amazing thing. I just think this is the coolest thing. Because how did the giant, it says he fell forward with the propulsion that should have knocked him back? Because I'm telling you, what he fell under was the power of God. And he, just like the god Dagon that was in the Philistines, fell forward, it's a reminder that one day every knee, I'm telling you this morning, because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I have to tell you this, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And some will do it willingly. Others will do it simply when you get there, like, oh, God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to... Listen, when you get to heaven or get in the presence of God, it's going to be a whole different economy. But God's giving you a chance today to surrender to him. And so so think about this. It's not supernatural. How many people could give your lunch to Jesus? Anybody could do that. But Jesus takes it. He makes it bigger than it is. Or how about this? Moses parts the Red Sea. He holds up a rod. In other words, in Iowa, we said a stick. You know, we always think of Charlton Heston and ta-da. You know, I don't see, I think probably Moses might have been like, is this going to work? Listen, I could have done that. You could have done that. Our part's not supernatural. We respond, and God responds to us. Now listen to this one, third part. Your part is first. Now I understand something. We love him because he first loved us. But what I'm saying, in this economy today under grace, God's already done his part. Jesus is never going to die again. Jesus is never going to rise again. He rose. The Bible says in the book of Peter that everything necessary for life and godliness has been given to us through his promise, through his power. He's done it all. So, for instance, the Bible says if you draw near to God, guess what will happen? He'll draw near to you. The Bible says if you lay hands on sick people, they'll get well. The Bible says whatever you bind, it's a legal term. You ever have a binding agreement? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The idea of an agreement. It's the idea of, Lord, we make a binding agreement. We stand in the name of Jesus as authorized agents of your kingdom, and we ask for this to come. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's go back and think about Adam here for a bit. Sin entered the world through, what a picture. In fact, you didn't even know I was going to be talking about this. But sin entered the world through one man. And the Bible says in Romans 5, because of that one man's choices, everybody was condemned. Now that sounds, doesn't that sound unfair? You're like, I'm not going to answer that in church. I'm in church. But when you get home, you're driving home, and you're like, you know what? When I think about that, sounds kind of unfair. It sounds unfair that one person, but I'm telling you, it's brilliant. This is a brilliant plan. Because here's the cool thing. This is the story of Easter. If one man lost it, one man can get it all back. One man can get it all back. Now listen to this story. The Bible says, remember what? This is so cool because when God became a man, God became a man. Goliath, let's go back to the words of Goliath. Choose a man, he may come down and fight with me. If I win, I get them all. That's what he said. If he wins, he gets them all. And so, is it possible there was an interaction again in heaven? And God says, I know the rule here. You only do it through a human on earth. And so, choose a man who can stand up for everybody, who can represent the whole race. Pick him. Pick your guy to face me. I'll hold him in bondage if you don't find the man. And the father says, I pick Jesus. Oh, that's not fair. He's not a man. Well, then I'll make him a man. And God became a man, and he stood as the entire race. And he broke hell, he broke sin, he broke sickness, he broke all the kinds of things that would destroy you. And he delivered us once and for all. And the possibility is for every person. Isn't that the coolest thing? Isn't that brilliant? People are like, wow, God's really like narrow-minded. One way, one truth, one life. Jesus Christ. You know what? My wife's very narrow-minded about the kinds of affections. She only lets me love her. Narrow-minded. Come on now. God has one way, and it's through Christ. And he calls you to himself. And you're like, well, what you just said, then every person's saved. No, what I'm saying is, God has already done his part. But the question comes in, will you do your part? Will you do your part? And you're like, well, I'm really trying hard. I'm like doing all these good things. That's not what Jesus is talking about. One time the Pharisees came to him and said, what's our part? Basically, they're asking that question. He said, I'll tell you what your part is. It's to believe on the one that was sent. It's to believe on that one who came for you. And so that's what we're here to do this morning. If you're here today and I don't know who you are, you came in, God's done his part. You can surrender to Christ this morning. Or maybe you've been running things yourself. Maybe you are a believer, but there's something you've been holding on to. You're like, God, help me with this. You need to let that go. You do your part. You're going to find God comes in a way that's powerful. So this morning, before we hear a very amazing testimony, I want us to pray a prayer. And I want you to pray this in your heart. And if you really mean this, your choices matter. God's made you in his image. God loves you. He cares for you. He showed up on this planet as a human being. He died our death. He washed all sins away. He's forgiven us. He gives us brand new life. Resurrection life is about the power to live in a way that we could never live in our own strength. But it comes by surrendering. So let's bow our hearts before the Lord. And I'm going to just pray a simple prayer. And you can pray this quietly in your heart to the Lord. You can pray this in your heart to the Lord. You may have already surrendered to Christ, but there's an area you just need to say, Lord, I welcome you into that. I've really been kind of holding on to that. Or maybe you've never surrendered to Christ before. So when I pray, you echo words in your heart. Say, God, I agree with that. Lord, we come today. And Father, we thank you. You made a choice to send your son to stand as the whole race, to stand as me, to die my death, to shed blood for me, to wash away my sins. And so, Lord Jesus, if you mean this today, just to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me, God. Thank you, Lord. You've already chosen. I accept your forgiveness. And Lord, I surrender to you. I completely surrender my life. I thank you, Lord, that you've completed. You came for me. It's finished. And so, no, Lord, I respond to you. Come, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the center of my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Isn't that cool? Isn't God awesome? Isn't it like an awesome plan? I love this. We preach Christ. Because if we don't, we ain't got nothing else, man. That's it. It's Him.